Welcome to this Monday edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane, and Doctor, given the excitement you're feeling about the team that has assembled here in the studio today, I know you're anxious to get started, so why don't you dive right in?
Well, Luann, it is such a pleasure for me to have my wife Shirley here in the studio with us. I love it when she comes, and she's here in the flesh today. Shirley is chairman of the National Day of Prayer Task Force and has been for 22 years?
Yes, 22 years.
Did you ever expect to do this for this long?
No, when I accepted this position, I thought I can do this for 1 to 3 years. And here I am 22 years later, and it's been a wonderful honor, and to see how it's grown has blessed me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a whole lot of other people, and I can say that because I hear it from folks all the time. There's great appreciation, not just for you, but the whole team and all the people across the United States. In fact, you have area leaders in every state, don't you?
We do. We have national area leaders. We have 9. And they each have their territories, and they're doing a wonderful job. They're over the state coordinators, and then under the state coordinators, we have regional coordinators. So we're all over the nation.
Well, you have put together a great organization, and I'm very proud of you. Now, you have brought 2 of your colleagues to be with you, colleagues from the National Day of Prayer. And let me introduce them. John Bornsheen is the vice chair of the National Day of Prayer and works directly with you, Shirley. And Kathy Branzell, who is on the board of directors for the National Day of Prayer. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you, Doctor.
I'm so excited that you're here, and you can tell that because you got a story to tell, and we're going to get it out here. The reason that these three folks are here today is to talk about the upcoming national elections and their relationship to prayer. We're right around the corner from what I believe to be one of the most important elections in U.S. history, and we must be in prayer about it. And Shirley, that led you and the National Day of Prayer team and the National Prayer Committee to call for prayer for this country. In fact, it was decided quite a long time ago, but it became obvious that it was even more critical as we have gotten closer to this time in American history. But that's really what's on your mind, isn't it?
Yes. We at the National Day of Prayer Office were so concerned about what we were seeing and reading and hearing in this nation, this wonderful nation that was built on a godly foundation, that we felt that we must go to prayer. And we couldn't think of a better place to hold it than in Washington, D.C. And we called the conference the summons. We were summoning Christians and believers from coast to coast.
Or you could call them prayer warriors, because that's who these folks are.
You know, what really impressed me when they came to Washington was the sincerity of these people. They weren't there to sightsee and to have fun. They were there on serious business to cover our government and those that lead us in prayer.
I want to emphasize what you just said. People did not come there like you would come to a conference to listen to a lot of speakers and learn. They were there for the hard, hard work of prayer. And let's face it, genuine, heartfelt, fervent prayer is hard work.
It is. It is.
That's right.
Many nights we got in bed very late and up very early, but we felt like we can do anything for 3 or 4 days, and we are going to put a shield of prayer around this nation and around those that lead us and around the election.
John, you were there. Tell us what happened in Washington, D.C.
It is hard to put words to what happened, because it really was an opportunity where God revealed himself in an amazing way. You know, you talk about prayer being a sweet aroma to the nostrils of the king, and we prepared an altar for him. And it wasn't one of those moments, doctors, you mentioned, where we go into a conference to hear people talk about prayer. We went there to pray. And I mentioned it several times during the event. This is not for the faint of heart. You need to bring your walking shoes. You need to bring your raincoat because we were going to be out there rain or shine. But I got to tell you, the moment we arrived in Washington, D.C., we arrived to rainy weather and it immediately cleared up. And we left in rainy weather. So God withheld the skies so that he could receive a sweet aroma of prayer. And indeed, that's what happened.
Surely there's a story about the number of people that came. Explain it.
Yes. First of all, we didn't know how many people would register. We were hoping we'd have over 300. Mm-hmm. Well, 290 registered. And then 10 were added, so we had 300. And then 10 more registered. That was 310. Then 10 decided they couldn't come, so it was back to 300. So we were like jockeying between above 300 and below 300, and we ended up right at 300. And in Judges 6 and 7 in the scriptures, it tells us about Gideon's army of 300, and that's mm-hmm. what we felt we had. No more, no less. Mm-hmm. Makes me really emotional. But we had 300, and they were the most precious people. So mm-hmm. sincere.
And these people didn't have time to come to Washington. They didn't have the money to be there, mm-hmm. a lot of them. And they set everything else aside, and they came because they wanted to interface with the Lord on behalf of our great nation.
They love this country. They are grieved by what they're seeing, that we're leaving biblical principles. Many of our people have turned their back on God. They're using his name, raking it through the gutter. And we were there on such a sincere mission to really, as I said, put a shield around our nation, put a shield of prayer.
Now, Kathy, describe the element of this summons that you were particularly concerned about.
Well, my heart was mostly just for the government. We went and prayed at all the different powers, but my heart was on Capitol Hill and our reputation and our relationship with them as prayer warriors. And so I just started calling. We got the attendees. I started calling every attendee as they registered and had this conversation with them that we are not going to campaign or complain, that we are going to pray and to be appreciative. And so then, as time went on, we knew we needed to get busy because there were 535 offices to contact. And so I just
You're
spent—
You're talking about offices of the House of Representatives.
And the senators,
every single one of them.
Yes.
And senators.
And the senators. And so I began to call and form relationships with the different staff members to set up a 10-minute appointment for us to send in a constituent either from their district or from their state just to come be a blessing. And they would say, well, what sort of services do you need? We don't need anything. They were just completely overwhelmed that we just wanted to come say thank you. And I made it very clear that we were coming to pray mm-hmm. for them. And they were elated. And even in the beginning when we thought Congress was going to be there, there were some that said, well, have a nice trip to Washington, but no thank you. And then there was a short period of time of panic when Congress canceled and decided to go home until after the election. But then the different staff members started calling me and saying, are you all still willing to come pray with us? Mm-hmm. And so all the doors flew open, and we were able to have a person-to-person conversation and prayer with members of the staff.
And so many of the staff are young. I mean, these are 20-year-old kids that are right there on Capitol Hill. And to have adults come in, pray with them, and just say, how can we continue to pray for you? Because we don't want it to just stop today. We're going to put you in our prayer journal from this day forward. They were blessed.
Going from office to office, mm-hmm. talking to the staffs and some of the congressmen and senators who were there. Yes. Is that right?
That's right. There were a few congressmen who were still on the Hill, and they made it a priority to come pray with us. And they made our folks feel like priority, and they had so many burdens. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many of them, they often hear the complaints. And all we wanted to do was, it's not about any of the issues. We're going to pray for you. We're going to ask the Lord to give you wisdom in the decisions you're making for our nation and for your state.
You know, that does not happen. Mm-hmm. Everybody who comes to Washington wants something. Mm-hmm. Everybody who goes to see a congressman or a senator comes with an agenda. They're lobbyists and they are constituents who have some need, Social Security help or whatever it is. But to have people come in and say, we're not asking for anything. Mm-hmm. We just care about you and we want to pray for you.
Yes.
It was
yes.
powerful.
There was one congressman that was especially going through a very difficult time. And we actually gathered around him and asked him if we could lay our hands on him and pray for him. And he was so appreciative of that. So that was a real blessing for all of us to actually know that somebody was going through a very dark time and to be able to just surround him in prayer.
Well, I'm sure that had an enormous impact upon the members of the House of Representatives and the Senate, but it also had a great impact on you, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. It
on
did.
The 300, the Gideon's Army.
This was Absolutely. A mission field. I don't know any other way to describe it than knowing we went there for an assignment to pray. And we had 19 key locations that we were praying at. So 19 locations in 6 days to cover effectively in prayer. So we were dividing and conquering. We had buses taking groups to the White House, Capitol Hill, the Pentagon, and they were there on assignment to pray. And then they would gather back together and tell us the stories. We had homeless men coming up to us, accepting the Lord right on location, mm-hmm. families traveling from around the world. I mean, when you're outside praying and you're in a very public forum there, people would come by and listen and they would ask more information. A family from Israel came and were weeping that we were praying for Israel because it was the day of prayer for the peace of Jerusalem happening at the same time. And mm-hmm. so we were praying for them. They're joining with us in prayer. It was a beautiful thing.
Kathy, there was a man who walked to be there. Tell us about that.
Oh, he walked over 300 miles mm-hmm. from Michigan to Washington, D.C., because he felt the Lord had summoned him to come and be a part mm-hmm. of this solemn assembly of prayer, because it was really our hearts just to cover our nation, to cry out before the Lord, to humble ourselves. We are those people who are called by His name.
It didn't end there. I mean, the awesome thing is these people came, and most who are listening right now probably thought, well, what happened afterwards? I mean, you all left and went home. But there was a spirit that's no other way to describe it than being a revival.
Right.
Because we have groups that are still there in Washington, D.C. In fact, they committed for 40 days, 24 hours a day, to be mm-hmm. there. They got a permit to be on the ellipse of the White House for 40 straight days in a tent, praying over the president, praying over the leaders there in wow. Washington, D.C. I've never heard of that happening. That's a God thing. Mm-hmm. So that's happening right now.
Help us get a feel for what happened when you would come back together and you begin praying again. Can you kind of put into words the kind of prayers you heard? What were people praying for?
You know, there's a great sense of urgency about the consistent attack on the family, the sanctity of human life, the economy, military
religious
families,
liberty.
Religious liberty, the list goes on and on. And those who came here came with a mission-minded focus, that they were going to pray specifically for these things. So we had several concerts of prayer where we'd just give 10-minute blocks to each person, and they would get up there and pour their hearts out in prayer. And you have an audience of people now on their knees with mm-hmm. their hands in the dirt, literally praying over the city and every influence there and resonating with those words coming out of their mouth. So it wasn't a, let's talk about how prayer will make a difference. It's we are praying right now that God would intercede in the affairs of men in a very powerful way, and we believe He heard. Mm-hmm. And we're waiting for God to respond, and we know that He's already at work, and He heard the prayers of His people and continued to do so. So now's not the time to simply say, okay, the prayer was done. Now's the time to keep this prayer energy alive, and we believe it's spreading across America right now.
And surely the National Day of Prayer Task Force is not the only prayer organization or movement that's out there. There are people praying all over this country, aren't there?
Well, we keep hearing about 40 days of prayer and fasting from different ministries that they feel called to prayer. They feel this urgency and they feel this burden about our country and what we're going through. And we all know that there's no hope apart from prayer. You look at Nineveh in the Bible and their wickedness, and God said, you know, it's enough. you know, I'm going to wipe them out. And, you know, the story of Jonah and how he prayed for Nineveh and called upon the Lord and begged for mercy. And the Lord said, well, all the people put on sackcloth and ashes, and they began to repent. And the Lord said that he forgave them, and he changed his mind. So that's our hope for America, that like Nineveh, we're in all kinds of wickedness and sin, but we are begging on the Lord to remember this country, to remember the foundation, and to forgive us of our sins and to heal our land in a mm-hmm. huge way.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, this is, it was named the summons for a reason, because the need is great, and it is a time when the Lord says, I call my people. I call you to prayer, and I'm calling you to solemn assembly. We called it the summons based on Joel 1:14, and let me just read these powerful words. He says, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God, and do what? Cry out to the Lord. And that's exactly what we did, because we believe that God still answers prayer. In the book of Jeremiah, there was a time when a judgment on a nation, when he would say, no more, I don't want to hear your prayers anymore. In fact, he says, if Moses and Elijah cried out to me, I would not even hear them. But indeed, we have not heard that. So we know there's still hope for America. He is still hearing the prayers of his people, and we continue in loud, unified voice to this day.
John, tell what happened at the Senate building.
Oh, my.
At the prayer time there.
We had, there was all over Capitol Hill. You got to just picture this. We had groups all over Capitol Hill from 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. in the morning. And so you imagine both sides, Senate and House side of the Capitol building in the galleries there, people praying and interceding right there in the Capitol building at 1 o'clock in the morning in the rotunda, in the galleries. We had permissions to go into the Senate side building, the Hart and Russell building, and actually set up a prayer room in these buildings to pray and intercede for these leaders. That was happening throughout the week. I mean, and so I just know that this was an altar of praise to God that blessed him in a powerful way.
Lou Anne, I want to say a word or two directly to the folks out there who have been depressed over our circumstances. And there are a lot of them. I've been there. Where we look at the evil around us and we're just almost breathless. You know, I have found myself, honestly, in times of prayer, apologizing to the Lord for the way his name is used in vain and for the sexual behavior that is displayed in front of our kids and for all those things, the killing of unborn babies and marriages on the ropes. And it's very easy to just get bogged down in that evil. I think it was 2 Peter when Lot, the son-in-law of Abraham, said, I am vexed with the evil of this day. That's where I am. I feel vexed, but I draw hope and encouragement from the prayers that have gone upward. I was on an assignment out of Colorado Springs. I couldn't go because we were doing a new DVD project. But I tell you, to know that these folks were there pouring out their hearts before God really raises my hopes and my spirits.
Well, their excitement is contagious, that's for sure, Doctor. And I'm struck here at the close. I know there are hundreds, if not thousands, of listeners who are saying, I missed that. I wished I could have been a part of it. John, they're not too late. The election is 1 week from tomorrow. How can they join in this concert of prayer on behalf of our nation?
Well, the prayer movement is alive and well. We encourage them, go to nationaldayofprayer.org, because there we have links to all of the different prayer activities going on, specific prayer guides for the election. But you know what? Prayer is powerful and effective, but God needs people to get off their rear and get out there and vote, make a difference, get out there at their church, get out in their community. And prayer is powerful when God's people are effective in the community doing what he calls us to do. And this election is one that we've got to be serious and take serious.
That's right. And beyond that, I would say, We have to pray beyond Election Day. That was the great thing about the summons, was that the 300 prayer warriors left just renewed and refreshed, and they just said, I'll never be the same again. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't end on Election Day. The National Day of Prayer calls this nation to prayer 365 days a year, not just one day, the first Thursday of May, when we have over 30,000 events, and that's incredible in itself. But these are passionate prayer warriors that are knees on the ground and then boots on the ground. They are out serving in untold number of ways. But the bottom line is, we won't stop praying in the evening of Election Day. Prayers go on Wednesday and Thursday because we have a problem in this nation that one election or one person cannot fix. God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, that's us.
It is.
That's
what
us.
What will he do, Kathy?
Oh, he will hear our prayers and he'll heal our land. That's what we're praying for. We are praying to be the people he's called us to be. Mm. We were made to worship. We were meant to pray and glorify him. And that goes far beyond
next week. And if we don't, the rocks will.
That's right.
Shirley, thank you for answering the call. You were busy.
Amen.
You being my wife really is a pretty heavy
huffing
load.
Huffing and puffing, all right.
And yet, when the Lord said, "Shirley, this is what I want you to do," you accepted it. And to the others of you, the same thing. It's the same story. And I thank you all for caring enough for this nation to pour yourself into this call for prayer.
You know, what really touched my heart at the end of our concert of prayer there in Washington, D.C., we took communion. Mm-hmm. And to watch all those precious souls that had been out there on their knees and some lying prostrate, just praying for this country and praying for the leaders, it just touched my heart to see them coming forward, taking the bread, taking the wine, and because I knew their hearts. And it was a beautiful ceremony to end with.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to end this conversation because our time is gone. But I'm sorry, I've only left 30 seconds, but would you pray for us in closing?
I'd be glad to. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer over these radio waves. And Lord, you saw the concert of prayer in Washington, D.C. You summoned us to come there and to pray for our leaders and for our country. Lord, we love this country. There's never been a country so blessed as the United States of America. And you've blessed it, Lord, because we've been a good people. But Lord, we see that that has been changing over the years and it has grieved our hearts. And so, Lord, we ask you to remember the remnant, remember those that love you and are trying to walk in righteousness and trying to serve this country. Lord, remember us and remember the good people in this land. And Lord, we just ask as we near this election that you would tug on everyone's heart to go out and vote and to vote righteous people into office, and that we may once again be one nation under God. Again, Lord, we thank you for meeting with us in Washington, D.C. We thank you, Lord, for this great gift of prayer that you have given us, that we can communicate with the God of the universe. We bless your name and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all for being our guests today and for lifting our spirits. And off we go to vote, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, sir. And I am especially anxious to do so this year. Very quickly, as we wrap things up for today, if you are still needing some help figuring out the issues or learning the various positions candidates in your area are taking, we have linked to several organizations that can help you out at drjamesdobson.org. We've also posted links to several other recent Family Talk broadcasts, which address what's at stake here in next week's election. One of our favorites features a fascinating conversation with theologian Dr. Dr. Wayne Grudem on what the Bible has to say about politics, so check that out. And of course, we will be linking to the National Day of Prayer Task Force's website for all kinds of ideas on how you can be on your knees along with us on behalf of this great nation. We would love for you to join with us in a concert of prayer for the fine men and women who serve our nation. Again, all of this and more at drjamesdobson.org, or you can always call us for any of this information at 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. And Doctor, before we close today, why don't you give us a taste of what we have in store for tomorrow?
Luann, I am not going to be here tomorrow because I'm continuing that DVD project that I told you about. But just a few days ago, I participated on a panel of four people discussing religious liberty and what's at stake here, mm-hmm. and the history of it and what will happen if we lose it and why it's important. And that discussion before a good-sized audience was recorded. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking you to cut and paste some of the things I said and maybe some of the other comments if we get permission. And let people hear that, and that's going to be on the program tomorrow.
All right. Well, you do not want to miss that. Thanks so much for joining us today, and we do invite you back next time for that special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.